Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
All right, if you can, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read along from verses 4 through to 15. Give me a shout out when you're there. All right, one person, that'll do. We'll get going. Here we go. You're waiting for it to come on the screen, aren't you? Yeah, we see how it works. When a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants were withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Our focus for this year is for real. Living with a sincere and authentic faith. And we have summed up what this looks like with a simple phrase, an inner fire with gospel impact. And this morning we're kicking off a new series looking at the first half of this phrase, because as followers of Jesus, we are called to fan into flame the inner fire of God's Holy Spirit within us. Can I get a Pentecostal amen? Oh, first time. That was amazing. Give yourself a round of applause. The enthusiasm. One of the greatest temptations we will face when it comes to this idea of inner fire is that we will try to manufacture inner fire through our own efforts. That we will see inner fire as some ecstatic state that we have to work ourselves up to. That's why we have such a thing as consumer Christianity, where we spend enormous amounts of time and money on conferences, podcasts, books, following YouTube prophets, chasing that thing that will spark the inner fire in our life. We constantly mistake the hype for the holy. And Jesus sums up this kind of living in this scripture by saying, though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. And so here's the thing. The inner fire of our heart is not something we chase after. It is something we tend to. And that is what this parable of the sower is all about. Tending to the soil of our hearts. Cultivating, listening hearts that are ready to receive and respond to Jesus. And in this parable, Jesus identifies three enemies of the listening heart, three distinct threats designed to extinguish the flame of your inner fire. The first being the hard heart. We might call this person the unbelieving believer. This is the seed that falls along the path that the birds come and eat up. So these are those with a hard or cynical heart that might hear God's word, even agree with God's word, but it never becomes personal. It remains mere theory in their minds. The things of God, the ways of God, the truth of God never makes its way into the heart. The heart of heart are not interested in practicing the way of Jesus or following the words of Jesus, and there is simply no inner fire. The next is the shallow heart, someone who lives chasing the moment but lacks maturity. And this is the seed that falls on rocky places. When the sun comes out, can't handle the heat and the plant just withers away. It has no root. It speaks about a shallow heart. Maybe pure emotion. And the picture that comes to mind is when we throw petrol. I heard a story about someone throwing petrol on a fire the other day. It did not go well. But it's the picture that comes to mind. You throw lighter fluid or petrol on a fire, and there's this instantaneous kind of combustion and a big flame that quickly dies out. Creates a massive emotional flash, but it burns out just as quickly. Because the truth is, to sustain our inner fire requires us putting down deep roots. It requires what Adam was talking about. It requires commitment. These people with shallow hearts, they live very excited. They get very excited about Jesus. They have moved beyond the theoretical. In other words, they might even say some things like, Jesus has changed my life. But when trouble comes, they turn away. They turn their back on God. It turns out that they wanted a genie, not a king. They wanted relief, not salvation. They thought they were entering into Christ's kingdom, but really, when push comes to shove, in the heat of the moment, what they were trying to do was get Christ to fit into their kingdom, to serve their own agenda. That's the shallow heart. The next is the divided heart. And we might call this person the compromiser. This is the seed that falls among the thorns, that grew up and choked the plants. And these people live lives committed to Christ, but they are living with competing priorities. You might call this the Western church. Worshiping God, but also worshiping other things. Divided loyalties. For example, these people might be committed to Christ and yet they use their sexuality in a way that violates His word. They may be committed to Christ, yet they have not yet used their finances in a way that brings honor and worship to God. A divided heart fails to give Christ lordship over all. When Christ has to share the lordship of your life with the other things that you worship with unchecked idols, your flame will be smothered. For us to live with an inner fire, we have to have a listening, responsive heart. This is the good heart who hears the word, retains it, and by persevering, produces much fruit. Now, our world today does not teach or train us how to listen all that well. Listening is a lost art. And maybe the reality is that humans were never all that good at listening. I mean, us men, we get blamed for being terrible listeners all the time, right? Here's a meme that sums up my life. Anyone else get caught out in this? What a weird way to start a conversation. Why would you start there? Of course I'm listening. Men are particularly bad at listening, but the reality is all of us, male and female, it takes hard work to be a good listener. And modern tech is only making this harder. There's a growing trend now called extractive listening, where we are trained now to listen for the sole purpose of data mining information. And so often we're listening and multitasking, listening to things at 2x speed, maybe even faster than that, looking for quick facts rather than for meaning and connection. So here's this kind of idea captured in a quick little chart versus extractive listening. This is the world that we live in versus deep listening, where we are listening for connection. We're listening to build trust and understanding and meaning. Extractive listening is self-serving, whereas deep listening is other focused, focused on the person that you are listening to. And so in our world, it's becoming harder and harder to listen well. The good news is we can all become better listeners. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can become a better listener. I see all the wives just like, you know, first person they turned to was their husband. The real question is, do we want to? Do we want to? I found it interesting as I was researching and putting this message together. There's a guy called Julian Treasure. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a top-rated trainer on communication skills. He's done several massively popular TED Talks that you can find on YouTube. And here's what's interesting. He has a talk called How to Speak So That People Will Listen. How to Speak. This is the theme of his TED Talk. And it has a whopping 48 million views. Pretty impressive. He has another talk, which is actually older. It's been around for a little longer. And it's called 5 Ways to Listen Better. The focus is on listening. It has under 5 million views. The reality is we are more interested in being heard than in hearing. And that's a problem on multiple levels. It's a problem when it comes to our relationships with our spouses and with one another. It's a problem when it comes to church community, and it's for sure a problem when it comes to our faith, our life as followers of Jesus. Because as we've just read, our ability to listen and to hear and to understand is crucial in us to be able to live and receive the message and the life of the kingdom that Jesus has offered for us. Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by listening to what God is saying. I love how it's paraphrased in the message. The point is, before you can trust, you have to listen. Before you can build faith and trust in your life, you have to learn how to listen. Now, thank God for grace. And the grace of the Holy Spirit that comes and opens up our hearts so that we can receive the gospel. But it's not just a moment in time where our ears have to be open. We have to learn to live with open ears, with hearts that are responsive and tuned in. I would say one of the most primary activities of a disciple of Christ is to take the time to learn how we cultivate a hospitable space in our heart where God's Spirit can speak to us and do His work of transformation. Arthur Wallace, who I've quoted many times, says this, when it comes to the mighty movements of the Spirit, every heart is either a highway or a hindrance. It's quite a confronting statement. There's no neutral ground when it comes to our hearts. Our hearts are either a highway or a hindrance. Listening well, listening deeply, listening in a way that we can understand is one of the primary skills of the kingdom of God. Without listening, you can't enter into the kingdom. Without listening, kingdom power can't flow in you and it can't flow through you. Jesus comes to us and he says, I have a gift to give you. I have words to speak into your heart, words that will bring life, words that will bring healing, words that will light your insides on fire, set a blaze within your heart, and cause you to flourish, awaken desire, passion, and purpose. The question that I need to ask is my heart in a state where it can take it in and receive? Am I listening? Now, listening to God is difficult. There are constant forces at work in our world, distractions vying for our, competing for our attention. We live in a very noisy world. The world out there is noisy. And I don't know if you've noticed, or I don't know if you're like me, but my world in here is also quite noisy. Anyone ever gone to practice, you know, silence and solitude, and you just the voice in your head is just racing through with all the things that you have to do? What's my wife going to cook for dinner? What's That's not true. Never think that. What am I going to cook my wife for dinner? How am I going to serve my wife today? How am I going to love her? How am I going to listen to her? Pay attention to her needs. We live in a noisy world, internally and externally. But God's native language is a whisper. It's a whisper. And a whisper is hard to hear and easy to ignore. We often fail to hear God because we're expecting only the spectacular mountaintop experiences. They happen and they're beautiful, but we need to learn to listen to God in the ordinary moments of our everyday life. We often fail to hear God because our hearts have been trained to listen by dopamine-fueled TikTok reels or Instagram reels, by notification banners, 24-hour news cycle. If your phone is going off, it's constantly interrupting your state of listening. And more than that, it's training you how you listen. I listen when I'm interrupted by a notification on my phone rather than having our hearts that are centered and tuned in to the voice of God. It is hard to hear a whisper amongst the competing noises in our hearts. But our biggest obstacle isn't the volume in our world. It is the inner noise of our own bias and ego. I have a little image that I came across a couple of weeks ago that kind of captures this thought. Imagine truth beaming down from heaven, the voice of God, the word of God. And there's this little hole punched in what is called our bias that allows just a little bit of truth, just a little bit of God's truth to come through. Our bias is made up of our pride, our need to be right, our tribes, our allegiances, our past wounds and our past hurts. It acts as a filter. And we look at this tiny little dot on the floor called perception. We celebrate and say, look, I have found the truth. When the reality is we've only found what our ego has allowed to slip through. What we have actually found is our perspective. Another little image to show you what this looks like and how it plays out. That's why our listening needs the discernment of the Holy Spirit. If we are to sustain our inner fire, we have to let the Holy Spirit punch a bigger hole in our lens. And this is the process of learning, cultivating a listening, responsive heart. James K.A. Smith, one of my favorite authors, says this: listening isn't just about sitting in silence to hear a voice. It's about paying close attention to the daily habits, routines, and cultural liturgies, the things in the world that form us and shape us, that are secretly training our hearts to love the wrong things, and then actively recalibrating our internal compass, which is our heart, back towards God. So we have to learn to discern between our own voice, between God's voice and the voice of our ego or the voice of our bias. We need to do the hard work of examining our hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to pray David's prayer, Lord, search my heart. And what we are looking for is a voice that's humble, a voice that's honest, a voice that is stripped of any ideas of masks or pretending, a hypocrisy, a voice that is real. God's voice connects with the deepest, most authentic parts of who we are. God's voice nourishes our soul. It's one of the key areas how we can learn to distinguish between the voice of our ego, the voice of our bias, the voice of our own opinion will massage and prop up our ego. Where the voice of God will build up by revealing the truth of who He is, the truth of who He has called us to be, and the life of grace that He is calling us into. You know, it is no accident that in Jesus's parable, three of the four soils are hostile to the seed. The ratio is skewed towards soil that is not healthy. Most of us here in this room will not be tempted to abandon our faith. But too many of us will live lives with hearts that are shallow, divided, or distracted, meaning we will settle for a mediocre version of it. From the age of 18, when I recommitted my life to God, I can honestly say, even though I haven't understood sometimes how God has been at work in my life, I haven't understood some of the things that I've watched happen to my friends and my family and all of those things, I can hand on heart say I've never been tempted to abandon my faith. Too many amazing, beautiful things have happened in my life for me to forget His grace and His kindness. I've built in gratitude into my heart so that I can daily remember that all the things that I have are because I serve a good God, and I am grateful for His presence and goodness and His love in my life. But I know that there are plenty of times where, because of the condition of my heart, I have settled for a mediocre version of faith. As my heart has been too shallow, too rocky, too many thorns and weeds to contain and take in the fullness of what God wants to do. A listening and responsive heart will never happen by accident. It must be fiercely and deliberately cultivated. But Jesus tells us it is worth it. It is worth it. That our listening hearts, when they take in the word of Jesus, when they take in the life of Jesus, will yield a crop. Listen to this, 100 times more than what was sown. Cultivating a listening heart is hard, intentional work. It is, but it is work that is worth it. Work that is worth it. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look around the world today and the wars that are happening, the financial crises that are happening, just the crazy things that are happening in our world. And I come to this truth, this realization, I have very little power to make any kind of real change to these big, big situations in our world. But I can do everything to cultivate the responsiveness of my heart. I may not be able to change this big event that's happening on the other side of the world. I can pray, sure, and trust that God is working in and doing something, and I know that He is. But even then, it's like, well, how much change am I actually affecting? I don't know, but here's what I do know. I can do everything to change the responsiveness and the condition of my heart. And that's what we are called to focus on as disciples of Jesus. Stop being distracted by things that you have very little agency over. Start focusing on the condition of your heart. We have to cultivate hearts that are both present and responsive to what God is doing in any given moment. A listening heart requires deliberate resistance against our culture's tendency to make us numb, busy, and cynical. It requires an active surrender, a willingness to be interrupted by God, and a deep, tender compassion for others. A quick glance at our Bibles, attendance at church here and there, even at our table communities, listening to the latest podcast, it's probably not going to be enough. It just isn't. Stones may need moving. Soil thorns may need uprooting from the soil. Your care, your thoughts, your prayers, your intentionality are going to be needed to sustain the inner fire that God has started in your heart. If I could have the keyboard player back up. Thank you, Sean. You guys still with me? So here's the challenge that we all face. It can often be overwhelming to look at the condition of our heart and the soil. Maybe even now you're thinking through some of the weeds and some of the thorns that have grown up over the last little while that you know are there. It can be a little challenging, maybe even a little daunting, maybe a little discouraging. This morning, I am here to help you out. That's right. Your friendly pastor is here to help you out. I want to share with you the story of who we know to be the Apostle John. And I want us to take our cues. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks looking at all the different ways that we can cultivate and sustain this inner fire, learning to listen. This series is going to take us all the way through to Pentecost. But I want us to start by taking our cues from the Apostle John. The Apostle John was known as the Apostle of Love. That's right. Before Leif Hetland, there was the Apostle John. He writes these familiar words in 1 John. Things like, God is love. Have you heard anyone say that? That was John's revelation. Now you might say, well, that's obvious. Sure. But that was John's revelation. He wrote things like, let us love one another, for love comes from God. But if you had met John earlier on, you might not recognize him. He and his brother were nicknamed Sons of Thunder. Now, that may sound like a compliment, but it was not. In a lot of ways, their hearts were unresponsive to the way of Jesus. There were some thorns, there were some stones, there were some weeds, some rocky ground preventing them from understanding and receiving the word of Jesus, the way of Jesus, and the way of his kingdom. In Mark chapter 9, John forbid a man from casting out demons in the name of Jesus because he was not part of their group. John's heart was hardened by religious traditions that said, I'm in, you're out. And the truth of Jesus's inclusive grace just bounced right off him. His heart was not ready to receive the seed of God's grace. When a Samaritan village rejected Jesus, John's immediate response was to call down fire from heaven to wipe them out. Under the heat of opposition, the man who had heard the very Savior of the world say, love your enemies, completely forgot. That word that was sown, that seed that was sown of love, withered away in the heat of the moment. In Mark chapter 10, John had his mother do his dirty work for him, asking Jesus for a special seat in the kingdom. The thorns of his own ego, ambition, and desire for power choked out the way of self-suffering love. How did John's heart change from Son of Thunder to Apostle of Love? How did it change? What happened in the course of his life that dealt with these soils of his heart that were hard and thorny and rocky? John's heart changed through proximity. John's heart changed because he positioned himself as close as he could to the life of Jesus. By the Last Supper, we see John reclining his head on Jesus' chest. You see, watching Jesus wash the feet of his fellow disciples shattered John's ambition for power. Seeing Jesus on the cross, John was the only disciple found present at the cross. And seeing Jesus on the cross, forgiving his enemies, not calling down fire, shattered his rigid categories of who was worthy of the mercy and the love of God. It's been pointed out that John's gospel starts with Christ in the heart of the Father and ends with John in the heart of Christ. And this is the journey of the gospel. This is the journey of discipleship, leading us into intimacy, proximity with the life of Christ, softening our hard hearts, pulling up and out the weeds, cultivating the soil so that we can listen, take in, and receive His word. The point of the gospel is to bring deeper and deeper intimacy and union with Christ and to sustain the inner fire of our hearts. And when we position ourselves close enough, the soil of our heart will begin to change. Proximity or intimacy with Jesus acts like water on hard, dry ground. It softens the hardest edges, allows the roots of our faith to go down deep, and washes away the thorns of our personal bias and agenda. So this morning, if you find yourself with an unresponsive heart, a heart that is overcrowded by your own ego, judgment, or just the cares and the worries of tomorrow, the answer is proximity. Center your life around the person and the presence of Jesus. You cannot be near Jesus without Him starting a fire in your life. You cannot be around Jesus without Him softening, cultivating the soil in your heart. Someone mentioned this before, was it? It must have been Adam. He's the only other microphone. The road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn when they walked in proximity to Jesus? This year, a big part of our focus is looking at the places of our hearts that are in resistance and moving them to a place of responsiveness. It's why we're creating this space that we're just about to go into at the end of every service, response time. And it'll look different from week to week. It might look like coming out the front. It might look like a more of a traditional altar call. We call you to come out and receive prayer. It might look like creating space to ask yourself questions. It might look like talking to one another. But this is intentional. This is not the time to check your phone. It's not the time to check the time. How long's Aaron got left? This is the time to curate a heart that is responsive towards the voice and the call of your Savior and Lord. This is the time to pray prayers like, "Search my heart." You know, we are Pentecostals, charismatics. We love the powerful prayers that call down fire. Amen. I love those prayers. I love prayers. We call down the fire of heaven. We see God shift and move and break open things in a moment. But you know, the most effective, maybe even the most powerful prayer you can pray is a prayer that might sound like this: "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Let's pray the Pentecostal power prayers. But let's pray that prayer. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Come in and change the soil of my heart. By your grace and mercy, pour out the water of your Spirit, that the hard places will become soft, that the broken places will become healed, and that the seed that you have planted by your word and by your grace would produce fruit 100 times over. And the fruit of my life become a testimony to your glory and to your goodness." This morning we're going to begin or engage in or pray through this idea of practices of proximity. What is one thing that you can remove from your week to create more space? Now let me just help you out as you go, "I'm too busy, I can't create space." Just like one less Netflix episode, one less moment scrolling on social media, Or set your alarm 10 minutes earlier. And I know for some of you that might be really, really hard. It is. It is hard. But it's worth it. One less Netflix episode. You know what? Go around the block once more before going home. Stop at a park on your way home. Get out and walk. It's for 5 minutes. What's one thing you can do this week? One thing you can say no to create more space. And then one thing that you can add into your week that will cultivate proximity to Jesus. And this doesn't have to be complicated. You know what it might be? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Then you just sit and wait for 5 minutes and allow him to speak to your heart. It's all it might take. Well, I'm going to give you the rest of our time together, which is about 90 seconds, to allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon you one thing to let go of, or one thing to take up. Just one thing. Keep it simple. Why don't we pray? Let's hold our hands out. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I just feel God saying that there's a mother here this morning. And as well as worrying about, well, not so much worrying, but examining your own heart, your thoughts have gone straight to the heart of one of your children. And you started interceding and praying for the hearts of your children, that they would be softened, that they would have listening hearts. And this field God wants to say to you this morning, there's a mum here, maybe there's more than one. I hear his voice saying, I'm working on their heart. Trust me. Trust me. Lord, we pray that you would help us practice proximity. Take our cues from John. And recognize that there are things in our hearts that are resisting your word and your way. And so we come to you. We position ourselves close to you. Would you speak to us? Would you encourage us this week as we set aside time? Holy Spirit, may your grace empower us to say no to the things that are unhelpful this week. Maybe not even wrong, but just unhelpful, so that we can say yes to the transformational power of your grace, the softening of our hearts that you want to do in our life this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.